This is an encore presentation of Faith and Sport on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network. Tune in to hear a brand new edition of Faith and Sport Monday afternoons from 5 to 6 on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM. Also streaming at CarolinaCatholicRadio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app. Well, you know, by the sound of this music, it can only mean one thing. It's Faith and Sport time on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network, 1270 AM Charlotte, coming to you at 10,000 powerful watts. We're also streaming at CarolinaCatholicRadio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app. We're also broadcasting across Radio Maria. So, hello to all of our Radio Maria listeners out there. Good to have you tuned in for Faith and Sport today. And as always, your host for Faith and Sport, Dr. John Aquaviva.
Hey, folks, welcome to the show. However, wherever you are connecting with us today, thank you to Carolina Catholic Radio. And this is a co-production of Radio Maria. So hello to all those folks up there in Radio Maria land. This is Faith and Sport, where we apply our Christian faith to all aspects of sports. So whether you're a fan, whether you're an athlete, a parent of an athlete, whether you're a referee, administrator, or you're involved in sport in any way, and you want to apply your Catholic faith to sport, this is the show for you. So we just try to make it a sports show, but we try to bring character, ethics, and morality into that conversation. Here's what we're going to do today, folks. We're going to talk all things sports.
We're going to have a great show is what we're going to do.
There's no doubt about it, brother. I think each and every week, every Monday I wake up and I go, I get to do this show today. And one of the reasons I'm so excited is on most days, we have a guest, and today, like most Mondays, Carlos Herrera is going to join us. We're going to have a big conversation, especially about our hit and miss of the week. Each of us gives what is a downer or an upper in the world of sport. We're going to do weekend headlines, and then we're going to have a break. And after the break, our guest is Jeff Ballister. He's a youth basketball coach and author of God Doesn't Play a Zone Defense. And by the way, speaking of that book, God Doesn't Play a Zone Defense, today, Chris, is book giveaway day.
Oh.
I know.
Great chance for people out there to get a stocking stuffer.
I was going to say that same thing. That's just a favorite comment about this time of year. But yeah, details on that coming up in a few minutes. And then we're going to do the quick Q&A with Dr. A. And then we're going to have our shocking stat of the week. Most time shocking. We have like, I know, okay. Stat of the week, right?
That's right.
Our shocking
stat. Shocking
this
week.
Brother, how you been?
I've been great. Had a great weekend. My Wolfpack had a great weekend with a great win over Georgia Tech.
That was
good. Happy for him. Yeah.
Let me ask you, brother, switching gears. I have a couple friends who are staunch Donald Trump supporters, and they aren't even hesitating. They're like, he's going to win this election. Do you have a feel for that?
I still believe that President Trump is in there fighting. Also, his attorney, Rudy Giuliani, even though he's been diagnosed with COVID,
he's
still in there fighting for the president. There's still a lot of people out there still fighting for the president and want to get the election overturned because it wasn't honest and landslide win for President Trump. I still believe that, and I still believe that by the grace of God that he will stay in there for a second term.
I tell you what, I was unsure about this whole reversing the election results until I saw about an hour of the six-hour hearing that the state of Georgia held. Did you watch any of that?
I heard about it.
Anyway, they brought in witness after witness, people that were poll workers. It was astounding,
some of the
evidence they brought forward.
My jaw was open. Yeah, did you see the video that they showed on that, too, of them bringing those cases of ballots in?
Oh, man. It's not just bad for Trump or whatever. This is bad for our republic.
Yeah.
This is terrible for if this anything like this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, regardless win, lose, or draw for any of these guys, they need to keep this from ever happening again. People didn't tune in to talk about faith and election. They tuned in today to talk about faith and sport, right, brother?
That's right.
So listen, to talk about faith and sport, let's bring on Carlos Herrera. Here he comes right now. Carlos Herrera, welcome to the show.
Hello, Dr. Aquaviva. Welcome. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, this is great, brother. It's been too long since we had you on the show. Listen, before we get into our hit or miss, I figure Ed Billick, you know, he fills in for you once every 3 or 4 weeks, and he passed this on to me. you, Chris, our audience, I think you'll get a big kick out of this. These are comments on exams from Catholic elementary school kids about the Old and New Testament. You ready? These are actual, and it says here, literally, these statements have not been retouched or corrected in any way. All right, so this is...
Wait, are you quizzing me?
No, this is not going to be a quiz. This
yes,
is just statements.
Are you smarter than a fifth grader, Carlos?
Smarter than a fifth grader. This is just simply statements about the Old and New Testament from Catholic school elementary kids. So let's go through a couple of them. The Egyptians were all drowned in the desert. Afterwards,
true.
Yeah, true. Afterwards, Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Amendments. Solomon, one of David's sons, had 300 wives and 700 porcupines. Come on, that one's great. When Mary heard that she was the mother of Jesus, she sang the Magna Carta. Jesus, listen to this one. Jesus was born because Mary had an immaculate contraption. But here's the best one. And anybody who has children, like little kids like Carlos and I do, may think this one is actually the best one as well. The greatest miracle in the Bible is when Joshua told his son to stand still and he obeyed him. Come on, that is great. And again, folks, these come from Catholic school elementary kids, and they had a test on Old and New Testament, and needless to say, the teacher would have to be very liberal to give any credit, even partial credit, to those statements. Carlos, let's get into conversation.
Well, I think that would make a better stocking stuffer. This the laugh off that.
I know they could do a compilation in a book of that. That would be a stocking stuffer. By the way, I'm glad you mentioned the stocking stuffer. Our guest today is Jeff Ballister. He's a youth basketball coach, and he's the author of God Doesn't Play a Zone Defense. The subtitle is A Practical Game Plan for Building a One-on-One Relationship with God. He's going to be our guest. He's going to join us around halfway after the hour today. But Jeff, one thing he did before he came on the show or appears on the show today is last week he sent me a couple copies of these. So I'm going to do this. Anybody who writes me before in the next 24 hours, all you have to do is send me your address and I will send you a brand new copy of God Doesn't Play a Zone Defense. You can get in touch with me one of two ways. You can tweet me at j.aquaviva at number one. So j.aquaviva one. Or you can email me at faithandsport. That's A-N-D there. Faithandsport at wingate.edu. Next 24 hours, anybody who texts me or tweets me or emails me, I will send you a copy of this book, God Doesn't Play His Own Defense. Chris, you can attest to this. Is this not a perfect stocking stuffer size?
Yes, it is.
It's perfect. Just maybe a little bit of crease folded in that big stocking, baby. Kids are going to go, you got me. God Doesn't Play Zone Defense. I couldn't find it anywhere, right?
Yeah, it's a hot new book.
So, folks, keep that in mind. Anyway, Jeff's going to join us halfway after the hour, but let's get into a conversation with Carlos Herrera. Carlos, one of the things that you and I do each and every time is a hit and miss in the world of sport, and I hear you got a miss this week. Throw it at me.
Well, I got to tell you, it follows along with Jeff's book, because Jeff's book's title is God Doesn't Play Zone Defense, which means God plays man-to-man.
That's right.
Well, if the Jets defensive coach Greg Williams had listened and read the book, he would know that only God plays man-to-man. He made his defense play man-to-man on the last play of the game, cost the Jets their only would have been their only win of the season, and which case it prompted the Jets to fire Greg Williams from a team after being hired in 2019 from a team that is now 0-12. So the myth is the fact that the 0-12 Jets felt that the worst person in the organization was Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator, for calling what was amounts to an all-out blitz zone man-to-man defense on the last play of the game with about 5 seconds late. And the stat that you and I spoke to, ESPN says that reviewing their archives in 15 seasons of records, There amounts to about 252 plays. At an end of a game where an opposing team with one play could have won the game,
yep.
Turned around the score, nobody in those 252 plays over 15 seasons, nobody had done an all-out blitz and left their backs with man-to-man. And, quote-unquote, because of that, that's what they're citing why Greg Williams lost the game. And not to mention, he was the person that scored. The defender was doing man-to-man. He was a rookie. He had only played five games.
Wow.
And he was all alone with the fastest player of the Las Vegas
Raiders.
They scored on him. And some players were actually giving Greg Williams, you know, a little bit of questioning the call that should have been more conservative. But the 0-12 Jets are making a coaching change, and Adam Gase is my prediction is going to be the next one. So it's a miss because that whole organization, both coaches should get fired.
Yeah, maybe not just both coaches, but maybe all coaches should be fired. Now here's the question, Carlos: is the main one is this? I'm wondering if the Jets had any idea of the statistics that 250 plus times in the last 50 years, there's been an opportunity for a team to win. They need to score a touchdown on the last possession. And of those 250 plus times, not one time did they succeed until yesterday. And the reason they succeeded is because Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator of the New York Jets, insisted on blitzing more than six guys. Remember, there's only 11 guys on the field. So he had a good, literally 60% of his defense trying to blitz him. Now, here's one of the things. You're 0-11. You're about to be 0-12, Carlos. I think it's not a bad play.
Apparently, in a couple of previous plays with only three linemen, he was able to sack the quarterback twice, I think, in the either that series or the previous series.
Sure.
He rushed eight people. So with 11. With 11
eight out of the 11, yeah.
He only had three backs in the back. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a terrible call. I probably would have done it. Greg Williams is an aggressive defensive coach.
He's
got a great reputation for having solid deep, but you can't save any of the coaches on that team. Doesn't matter who it is.
No, I guess you're right. And the reason it's a miss is that it's kind of phony, right? In the terms of what the Jets did, they're acting like, oh, we would have had a good season if he didn't do this. And you're just saying, well, how phony, but how long after the game did they fire him, by the way? My guess is a couple hours.
And I think either late last night or early this morning.
Oh, okay, so a few hours had passed. Yeah, it's interesting.
Some people are saying that they're actually, it's kind of cover for the fact that the team's going to tank the rest of the season so
That's
they
right.
get the number one pick.
That's right.
So you can talk about the moral, how moral is it to tank a season to get the number one pick if that is the case that they're doing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, for folks that are kind of rookies in the world of professional sport, the worst team in almost every case gets the first pick of the people coming out of college. The only exception to that is the NBA, which has a lottery system. And in other words, the people that finish the worst, they get the most balls in the lottery bucket. And the second worst team gets the second most balls and so forth. So it kind of controls people from tanking at the end of the year. But that's interesting, Carlos, for another time. Is it a moral issue to tank, to have your team purposely lose? And, of course, the players don't know about it, but the coaches can instill offenses and defenses and play calling to ensure or more greatly ensure a loss. That'll be for another time for sure, buddy. Folks, you're listening to Faith in Sport. I'm Dr. John Acquaviva. Joining me on the show today, as well as most Mondays, is Carlos Herrera. We always start with our hit and miss, and if we have time, we talk about other stuff. But thank you for joining us here on Faith in Sport, where we merge sport and virtue. You're listening to Carolina Catholic Radio. You're listening to Radio Maria. Thank you for joining us today here. All right, Carlos, you gave us your hit or miss of the week. It was a miss, and in particular, you're calling the New York Jets kind of phony, but you're calling them out on what they did, and it didn't come down to one play, the reason that you're 0-12. So I get it, and all of our Jets fan listeners out there are probably, even though they have a tear in their eye right now that they're so frustrated, they're probably ultimately happy because there's some hope for next year, right? They're probably going to get a new coach, one, and two, they're probably going to get the number one pick. So Maybe I'll be good for them, but I doubt it. That's a struggling franchise. All right, folks. Carlos, he gave us his miss. Mine is a miss as well. Mine deals with the sport of football, but it deals with college football. And my miss goes to the SEC, the football conference. And it's because they named Sarah Fuller the special team player of the week. Now, this deserves a little bit of explanation. Otherwise, it would sound, I don't know, it would sound biased from the point, you know, from the standpoint of this host and so forth. But let me give it a little bit of background. Vanderbilt plays in the SEC. They're perennially the worst team in the SEC, or at least one of the worst teams in the SEC. And last weekend, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, at the time they were 0-6, they had some coronavirus issues with their kicking team, with their kickers in particular. And so what the head coach, Derek Mason, did was he extended an invitation to the goalie on the women's Vanderbilt soccer team and asked her to suit up and asked her to participate in this game, in this SEC division conference game, I should say. She had one appearance. She kicked the ball 30 yards. By the way, the kickers often kick it around 50 to 60 yards on a kickoff to ensure that it can't be returned. She basically kind of, I don't know if she tried to kick it very far, but either way, it went about 30 yards. The Vanderbilt or the opposing team just jumped on the ball and there was no return of it. But as a result of this one play, this one 30-yard kick, the SEC named her the special teams player of the week. And as Carlos pointed out in our conversation before we went on the air, he's like, yeah, but she's the first girl in Power Five. You know, there's five conferences. They're called the Power Five. The first girl to play in any manner at that level. I'm like, fine. That's okay. If you want to play a girl, if you want to play a young woman in that position to kick off one time, that's fine. It just doesn't make any sense to me to call her the special teams player of the week when there are dozens of people. Remember, this includes Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Arkansas, and several other really good SEC teams who have outstanding special teams players. And this includes people who punt, people who kick, including field goals, people who kick return, people who punt return, and so forth. The guy she won the co-award with, Kadarius Toney, he not only had a couple passes that he received, he had two punt returns, one of them for a touchdown, and he had one attempt at passing. He's a wide receiver. They just chucked him the ball. He made a pass. It was a 12-yard pass. So he's obviously a highly skilled athlete, and he's probably looking at this award going, wait a minute. I got this award with this one person who made this one kick, not to mention all the other kickers, kick returners, punters, punt returners, and so forth that did exceptional jobs at their positions on that same weekend. It just confuses me, and it just and this is the bottom line point, Carlos, is this. There's a big percentage of our population that wants fairness. They're like, well, it's fair, right? They want an equal opportunity. Fine. But equal opportunity doesn't mean equal outcome. Just because they have the opportunity doesn't mean they should or they are or guarantees that they're going to succeed. This is not success. If you want to elevate this girl and make her the give her some special award, that's fine. But elevating her to the player of the week doesn't make any sense. And here's the thing. If you're so concerned about fairness, Carlos, if you're so concerned about fairness, what about the other people that didn't win the award that were much more deserving? That's completely unfair. Anyway, this part of the reason that I'm staying actually relatively calm is I was talking to my buddy Scott over the weekend, and I think at one point he was like, why are you yelling at me? Because I was saying the same argument to him.
The listeners need to understand, this is relatively calm for John. Italiano, his arms are flaring.
That's right. Italiano, Giovanni. No, this is something that confuses me every time it happens. And it's just like that argument that is made in the transgender athlete community. Everybody's like, well, it would be unfair to not let them play. But as you and I have talked about, it's completely unfair to those girls who are born girls and they don't have all these other physiological advantages. And trust me, as a physiologist, I can speak to that for hours on the physiological differences between a boy and a girl or a man and a woman. And disallowing transgender females to play, to compete against females, is the right thing to do. Trust me, not to mention how much they could get hurt in sports like football and rugby, but just that they're taking away opportunity from them. If you want fairness, don't allow it. And if you want fairness, allow the people that really deserve to win this award to win this award. Carlos, I'll give you the last point at least on that.
So I would completely agree with you. I think if she did something special, you give her the award. But, I mean, I get that it's special for a woman to play college sports, but she already will go down in history as the first woman to play in women's sports.
Yeah.
You know, if she had kicked the ball for a field goal, then I would say she's
maybe
not only a woman, but she kicked the first field goal. But,
yeah,
you know, 30 yards, she played. Okay, she's the first woman to play. But, it, I mean, they were the team was losing. I'm not a big fan of this. This reminds me of, like, for kids, you know, giving them an award for participation. I mean, essentially, she got an award for participation, right?
That's a good point. That's
and,
a good point.
Just for showing up, right? Yep. And to me, that doesn't. If I were her, I'd be embarrassed to be the special player of the week for just kicking the ball once.
You know, that's a good point. It'd be really interesting to hear from her. And in fairness to her, Carlos, and in fairness to this conversation, she didn't ask for the award. She probably didn't petition for it. In fact, nobody probably in her family or circle of friends petitioned for this award. And she might be listening to this right now going, hey, you're killing the messenger here, right? But
yeah, I completely agree. I mean, this is nothing against her at all. This is kind of like a manufactured PR stunt by the university.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you could get, I think this brings in a kind of an interesting aspect about COVID, right? The Denver Broncos had three of their starting quarterbacks all had to not play the game.
That's right.
And they didn't even have a quarterback that was ready to play. They had to use a wide receiver that played quarterback either in college or in high school.
College.
He did terrible.
That's
Nobody
right.
gave him the offensive player of the game award. He's
Carlos,
terrible.
I love the analogy, brother. In fairness to what we've been saying, just to clarify, she was the first woman to play at Power 5. Women have played Division 2 and Division 3 and so forth, but not at Division 1, not at this level. Carlos, I'm going to switch gears because I'm just wondering if you have any insight on this. We only have a couple minutes left. But you know how a lot of professional and even college teams over the last year to acknowledge minority issues and social injustice and so forth. Last weekend, I was watching the University of North Carolina play football, and they had the option to put on their back, rather than their last name, a variety of different terms or words that perhaps help, you know, bring some insight or just some notoriety to this plight of social injustice, right? And some of them said, you know, I can't breathe. Another one said Breonna Taylor, you know, stuff like this. But the one that I didn't understand, and I'm wondering if you would have any insight on this, it said kings and queens. And in fairness to folks listening, I did not even mention this to Carlos because he might get, you know, feel like this is a curveball being thrown at him by his buddy John. But I'm just wondering, just hearing this, kings and queens. What do you think that means?
I actually don't know. I could guess, but I have no idea. And
yeah.
I think I heard this reference like in the last 5 days. But again, I wasn't sure what that meant either. I don't know. I don't know if it's transvestites and gender neutral people. I have no idea.
Yeah, I know. So, but here's the thing: if you and I don't know what that means, like everybody, well, at least most people would know what justice means and equality, right? Everybody would know what that means. Even most people would know if it says Breonna Taylor on the back of some 340-pound dude's back. I think today, in today's culture and climate, we're going to know who that means, who he's referring to. But shouldn't University of North Carolina make some choices about what they allow? Like, there shouldn't be any question. And here's the other thing that I always say about all these teams, the NBA, NFL, these college football teams that allow this. What and why don't they allow any type of social issue be put on people's backs? Like, for instance, stop abortion or Bible Christianity or just something. I have a feeling they wouldn't allow anything like that, right?
I then agree.
Yeah. Anyway, my brother, any final comments about what went on in the world of sport? We have 1 minute.
Like you, I'm a big fan of fairness, but I think fairness gets used to lower the bar of how we relate to performance. I think performance is one of the key
indicators. Yeah.
Indicators of how we do in sports. And to me, it's just using kind of charity as a way of making people feel better in sports. And I don't necessarily think that should be done that way on that platform.
No, in fact, you're right, buddy. It's worth repeating because this has kind of like been our theme since I took over the conversation, is talking about the miss. And I'll say this from a different angle. So many people, they're passionate about anybody being passed over in a position because they're the wrong sex or they're a minority, whatever the case is. So we shouldn't pass over anybody for any award, whether it's a job or an award or a position of some sort. We just need to, if you truly want to make the playing field level, let's really make it level. Otherwise, there are true injustices going on, right?
All right. Absolutely agree.
All right, buddy. Listen, as always, this 25 minutes goes too quickly. You have a good week, buddy, and hope you'll join us next Monday, and we'll talk more hit and miss and faith in sport.
Thanks for having me on. Have a great show. I look forward to talking to you next week.
Okay, buddy. Folks, that's Carlos Herrera. He joins us just about each and every week. He is a former youth minister. He's a certified youth soccer coach, and he joins us just about every week to talk about all things sports, in particular, hit and miss in the world of sport. Before we go on to weekend headlines, we talk about what's going on in the world of sport over the last few days. I want to mention again, our guest right after the break is Jeff Ballister. He's a youth basketball coach. He has experience as a player. He played Division I college basketball, but he's also the author of God Doesn't Play Zone Defense. And not only do I have this book in front of me, not only do I think this is good work on his part, this is a great stocking stuffer. And Jeff was he was kind enough to send me a few copies of these. So, folks, if you either tweet me at j.aquaviva1 or email me at faithandsport@wingate.edu, you send me your address, I'll send you a brand new copy of God Doesn't Play Zone Defense. Chris, before we bring Jeff on, before we have a break, let's do weekend headlines. Brother, what do you have for me?
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. The human drama of athletic competition.
It's time for Weekend Headlines with Dr. John Aquaviva on Faith and Sport.
Here we go, folks. And NCAA men's basketball, they're in their second week of play, but no major upsets to report. This week's rankings are Gonzaga at number one, then Baylor, Iowa, Michigan State, and Kansas all round out the top five. The irony was Gonzaga, number one, was supposed to play Baylor, number two, this past weekend, but it got canceled. Chris, what's your first guess on why it got canceled?
Could it be COVID?
It could be COVID. Ding, ding, ding. If I had a bell, I would have rung that. In the PGA, Norwegian Victor Hovland was the winner of the weekend's OHL Classic. But the tour takes a little holiday break and will return shortly after the new year. The NHL, to keep the spread of the virus to a minimum, some teams like the LA Kings and the Boston Bruins are considering outdoor venues only when they start their season in January. We'll see outdoor venues only. We'll see how that goes in cities like Boston, Chicago, and Detroit, where in August, Detroit, it starts getting cold. And NCAA football, there are a couple of top 20 matchups. Indiana convincingly beat Wisconsin to show that they are indeed for real. And in the battle of the We Get No Respect teams, Coastal Carolina beat BYU. Only 1 week of regular season remains. Then we're headed for conference championships, a few bowl games, and then the college football playoff.
That's right. And let's not forget about the awesome win for the Wolfpack over Georgia Tech.
Buddy, I wanted your great voice to be able to propel that out there. Congrats
That's right, the Wolfpack. 3-13. And also in Wolfpack basketball, can you tell me who the Wolfpack's next opponent is?
Duke.
No.
Let's hear it.
Not quite. Your Michigan Wolverines this Wednesday.
Oh, there you
That's
go,
right.
brother. I should have known that. Michigan won yesterday. I've yet to check the scores. They're 4-0, brother, so you're going to be running into a brick wall, I think.
I don't know. The Wolfpack's undefeated right now.
Oh, there you go. Two Titans going at it this
That's
Wednesday.
Right.
Something to look forward to, buddy. So there you have it, folks. Sports headlines that may or may not change your life. Chris, let's do this. Let's go to break, and then we'll bring on Jeff Ballister to talk about his book and other things about coaching. But stay with us, folks, here on Faith in Sport.
And one thing I want to mention, I'm excited and a little nervous about, is Monday Night Football coming up with Washington facing Ed Billick's Steelers in Pittsburgh. How's that going to go, Ed? Hopefully the Washington, formerly known as the Redskins, will break that undefeated streak.
They might do that, brother. Let's wait and see what happens.
And we've got more Faith in Sport coming up here on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network, so make sure you stay tuned for that. And make sure that you also check out CarolinaCatholicRadio.org on the on-demand section for more Faith in Sport. Check out the Faith in Sport archive there so you can find more Faith in Sport for all you Faith in Sport fans. There we go. Faith in Sport fans. Check out the on-demand section of CarolinaCatholicRadio.org and stay tuned for more Faith in Sport coming up next here on Carolina Catholic Radio, 1270 AM Charlotte, also streaming at CarolinaCatholicRadio.org. And we're also broadcasting across Radio Maria, so Radio Maria listeners, stay tuned for more Faith and Sport.
AM 1270 Catholic Radio Charlotte. Come join us and be a part of our 2020 vision to harvest souls for Christ in the vineyard of the Carolinas.
Hello, this is Steve Ray from CatholicConvert.com, and I'm really excited to invite you to join us for a virtual conference on the Bible for Catholics. We're going to have over 50 speakers. We have names already registered like Dr. Scott Hahn and Jeff Cavins, Dr. Peter Kreitz, and a whole bunch more. You won't believe the list. And our own Gail Buckley is going to be giving a talk on Bible study as well. It's going to be January 8th through 10, 2021. I'm going to have links and everything set up on my webpage for you to see. It's a free conference. You can hear all of those speakers that you want for those 3 days. So again, the title of it is Take and Read. That's a phrase from Augustine. Take and Read, A Journey into the Bible. And we invite you to join us again. Thank you. This is Steve Ray, and I'm looking forward to having you join us on the conference.
Hello, Carolina Catholic family. This is David Papandrea, founder and chairman of Carolina Catholic Radio. The new year has begun. Happy New Year. As we journey through Advent in preparation for the birth of our Lord, Savior, and King, Jesus Christ, I want to take a moment to extend my sincere thanks and gratitude to all who have helped grow our Carolina Catholic Apostolate over the past 5 years, from its inception in 2015 to incorporation in 2017 to our first broadcast in January 2019. I have truly been blessed with amazing volunteers, a passionate advisory board, and supportive board of directors who share their time, talent, and treasure as we build Carolina Catholic's foundation for the future. I would also like to thank our dozens of donors, sponsors, and advertisers for your financial support. We look forward to sharing all the ways you can get involved with us to grow Carolina Catholic in these extraordinary times when our world turned upside down. Since Carolina Catholic signed on the air nearly 2 years ago, we have purchased AM 1270 radio in Belmont. We are increasing our power from 2,500 to 10,000 watts across Charlotte, and we are now operating on multiple platforms that include broadcast radio, Alexa and TuneIn, audio streaming on internet and our mobile app, social media posting on Facebook, a YouTube channel, an audio video on demand section on our website and mobile app, and direct marketing through our weekly e-blasts. In conjunction with EWTN's outstanding Catholic Network programs, Carolina Catholic has made a major commitment to local programming. We are now adding new local programs weekly based on the input we receive from you, our Carolina Catholics. Every day I hear from someone who wants to do a program about something that they're passionate about. Carolina Catholic was created for you, by you. It's a reflection of you. I look forward to talking with you about the goals of your parish, ministry, or business, and how to best promote it to the Carolina Catholic audience, now numbering in the thousands. Let's make 2021 a year to reignite our spirit and renew our commitment to learn, love, and live our Catholic faith across the Carolinas. Thank you for your prayers, your volunteering, and your financial support. May God bless you and your family abundantly this Advent and Christmas season.
And we are back with more Faith and Sport on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network, 1270 AM Charlotte, coming to you with 10,000 powerful watts. We're also streaming across CarolinaCatholicRadio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app. We're also broadcasting across Radio Maria. Glad to have our Radio Maria listeners tuned in today for more Faith and Sport. I'm Chris, the producer of the show, and once again, here he is, your host for Faith and Sport, Dr. John Aquaviva.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, folks, for joining us today. You've joined us for Faith and Sport. What I do during the day is I teach exercise physiology, exercise science at Wingate University, which is not too far from here where we do the show in Charlotte. But every week, Chris and I get together, we get a guest, and we talk about faith and sport, and we have a good old time.
Fill the studio full of fans, as you can hear.
Studio audience, brother, they're as loud as ever.
That's right. There's no COVID restrictions here.
Folks, listen, just in a minute, we're going to have Jeff Ballister come on. He is a youth basketball coach. He's a former Division I basketball player, but he's also the author of God Doesn't Play a Zone Defense. It's a practical game plan for building a one-on-one relationship with God. Now, before we bring Jeff on, I want to remind the folks, today is book giveaway day. Chris can attest to this. This is a perfect size to put into somebody's stocking.
So, that's right.
Folks, if you tweet me or email me your address, I will send to you, either for you or to give to somebody else on your Christmas list, this book, God Doesn't Play Zone Defense. My Twitter account is j.aquaviva1. That's the number one, j.aquaviva1. Or you can email me at faithandsport@wingate.edu. Now, after we have a discussion with Jeff, we'll have a few minutes left. We'll do the quick Q&A with Dr. A. And not only do we have the stat of the week, we have the shocking stat of the week. So all kinds of stuff to look forward to in this second half of Faith and Sport.
That's right. Shocking.
Shocking. So, folks, I mentioned a couple times during the show that we're going to have Jeff Ballister on. He's written this book, God Doesn't Play Zone Defense Anymore. He's got a lot of experience in coaching. I don't know if we're going to be able to get to all the stuff I want to talk to him about, but let's bring him on right now to have a conversation. Jeff Ballister, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, John, Chris, thanks for having me.
Well, this is fantastic, brother. I mentioned, since the beginning of the show, about a half hour ago when we started, that you have a good deal of experience in coaching basketball. Now, I know you're a Division I basketball player. Tell us about your background in coaching, and I want you to follow that up with what draws you to it. You've been doing this for years. What draws you to coaching? First, start us off with your background in coaching.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, just like I'm a cradle Catholic, I think I'm a cradle coach. My dad was a coach for 30 years, high school. So born into it.
Sure.
Ever since I could think, breathe, walk, I was playing basketball and hearing how to coach it. So then played Division I basketball for probably one of the greatest coaches of all time and winningest coaches still in the top 15, winningest coach fail, and at Mount St. Mary's University, amazing Catholic university that, you know, I got an education, a wife, and got to travel the country playing basketball. We played Kentucky in the first round of the NCAA tournament in 96.
Awesome.
They went on to win it all that year.
That's
so,
right.
But then transitioning into, you know, life with kids, we have four children, and I've, you know, coached them from ages from first grade up to 12th grade.
Wow.
So, you know, it's just in my DNA, and, you know, I feel also I have to give back. But what really draws me to it is what I heard, a quote that, you know, one gentleman, my father, said that the three most powerful words in a house, in a sports household,
yep,
are what coach says. So, you know, we can't always preach to our own children, but I always felt if I could, you know, if I could help, you know, kids out and weave in sports and spirituality, which are two of my biggest passions, and introduce that into coaching from first grade up to 12th, that maybe it could positively impact someone's life. So it's all about positively impacting someone's life. And that's what the book God Doesn't Play His Own Defense is about. So I'll take a breath there, and, you know, you can follow up on that, John.
Yeah, perfect. Folks, you're listening to Faith in Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio. This is a co-production of Radio Maria. Our guest today is Jeff Ballister. He's a longtime basketball coach. He played Division I basketball, and he's the author of the book, God Doesn't Play His Own Defense, A Practical Game Plan for Building a One-on-One Relationship with God. Now, before we move on to the specifics about the book, one thing I wanted to mention, you know, when you mentioned, I haven't thought about this in years, but you know, you mentioned that you guys played Kentucky in 1996 in the first round of the tournament, right? Jeff,
yep.
Every year I've played multiple, what do you call it, when you fill out the brackets, I played multiple brackets, and only one time have I ever picked the winner. And that was the year I picked Kentucky to go all the way. So, brother, I didn't say that.
Oh, my God.
I know. But you know what my next closest pick was? I was teetering between Kentucky and Mount St. Mary's. So I'm glad I went the right way on that one.
That's right.
Well, listen, brother, before we get into the book, here's something I like to ask every coach and every player that's ever been on this show. And just about every time I ask them the same question, but I this is my favorite question to ask them. What do you wish you knew now? Let's say you coached your kids' high school team right now, or any level of coaching. What do you wish you knew as a first-year coach that you know now? Like, what would you do or not do?
If I knew it, I would say, and this is really hard for me, being an athlete and an admitted A-type personality, is not to overanalyze.
What do you mean?
So it's, you know, you lose a game, and I learned this from Coach Phelan, you know, great Catholic man, and he coached for 42 years at Mount St. Mary's, over 800 wins, and his quote was, you got to turn the page.
Yeah.
So, and it, I think it ties back to our spiritual life as well. You guys may have heard the term of people can become a spiritual pretzel, where you're so concerned over every little word you say, every action you do, that you're actually not resonating the life of Christ through you, because you're so concerned of every little thing you say.
That's right.
I think we got to be careful on that in coaching as well. Like, you lose one game, you know, the tendency is to stay up all night, watch every play, rewind it 27 times, then go into practice the next day and try to teach and correct the mistakes. And then sometimes you just got to turn the page, not only in sports, but life, and kind of move on and better yourself from there in the next game.
Very good. Folks, we're talking with Jeff Ballister here on Faith in Sport. Jeff is the author of the book, God Doesn't Play Zone Defense. One more thing before we move on to the book, Jeff. We didn't talk about this in our email exchange or our conversation the other day in prepping for the show, but let's say you came to Mount St. Mary's at the age that you did, and in the year in which Phelan was teaching and so forth. And this is just out of curiosity. This isn't by any means judging the man. I've heard nothing but good stuff about him. But I'm just curious. If you played for 4 years and were not Catholic, would you know that he was a Catholic?
Yes.
Okay. And how? Yeah. Did he talk about the faith? Was it something through his prayer? How did you know that he was a Catholic if you were not a Catholic?
It was before every game we were praying. There was a priest in the locker room.
Got it.
And just the way that, he handled himself, he didn't stand on a soapbox and tell the non-Catholic players they should convert and go to church, but he lived, the life of a strong Catholic man, the way my father did as well. So yeah. One of the reasons I picked the school that I picked. So, opportunity to play big time Division I basketball for a person that's, a better person than they are a coach. And they're one of the top 15 winningest all time.
Oh yeah. In fact, I don't consider myself a huge college basketball fan, but I'm certainly a fan. And the main reason I know his name is I spent a lot of time in the Northern Virginia area. So I'm really familiar with Mount St. Mary's. I've been on their campus and so forth, but he's always on that list of most winningest coaches. Whenever you see Krzyzewski pass somebody or, Calipari pass somebody on the all-time winning list, you'll always see Phelan's name mentioned. I think that's awesome. And another thing that you didn't mention, but you kind of encircle the fact that in my conversations with you is, boy, you must feel blessed. And I mean this. You had a chance to play Division I basketball. You were born and raised Catholic. You went to a very Catholic university, one of the few of the 130-plus that can really say that they stand by the teachings of the church and so forth. And you got to play for not just a Catholic coach, but one of the all-time winningest coaches. And on top of all that, that's where you met your wife. Boy, are you blessed, brother.
You said it. It's no more words to add to that.
Every I appreciate day, that. All right, listen.
Thanks for the blessing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, brother. And that's reason to pray to our Lord on this day is give thanks for those opportunities that God gave you and then for any opportunity that God gives us that helps us bring the situation closer to Him. I think that's awesome, brother. And I think we have a lot of listeners, and I bet that there's a lot of listeners, especially the ones that are athletes, going, boy, what an ideal situation. Of course, nothing's perfect, but when it comes to playing a sport, brother, I think you were blessed there. Listen, brother, we have a couple minutes left, and one of the things I mentioned to you before we even get into this conversation is I'm going to have you on again next month because I want to follow up, but let's get started in the conversation on this book, God Doesn't Play a Zone Defense. This came out of nowhere, right? The publisher probably didn't come to you like they come to very few authors. But what motivated you to write this book, God Doesn't Play His Own Defense?
No, yeah, great question. I was laying in bed one night reading, the Bible, and one of my favorite is Wisdom of Sirach. So just reading through some Wisdom of Sirach and got hit with God Doesn't Play His Own Defense, write it. And I just sloughed it off and said, I have four kids. I'm coaching three basketball teams, full-time job. I'm not a writer. I'm an athlete and a father and a husband.
That's right.
And then 2 minutes later, as loud as I'm talking in this phone right now, God Doesn't Play Zone Defense, write it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is going on? I mean, literally, so I get chills talking about it right now. So then I said, okay, well, it was one of those things, if, people can relate to this, if you get hit with something and you know it's not going to go away and you have to complete it or you're not going to be able to sleep at night, it was one of those type things. So I embarked on a 4-year journey where from 10 a.m. at night to 1 in the morning, I just poured out information and quotes and jokes and just over the life of living with a coach and being a coach and being around basketball. And basically what drove it as well is I remember as a 15, 16 year old kid remembering I love the Bible, I love my religion, but I bet we could reach more people if someone would translate these messages into a language that the lay person could really understand, and that is, in the language I understood at that time and still do, is sports. Yeah. So I said, let me take all the teachings that of the Bible and put it into a sports analogy, and that's really the foundation of God doesn't play zone defense, because any basketball lovers know, yes, Syracuse plays a zone and they do it well, but if you're out on a, you know, a pickup court in an inner city, you're not playing man to man, you're not playing zone,
that's
you're slapping the floor, picking up man, and that's what, you know, God wants from us, is to engage him man to man, one on one, day to day, and better the world. So that's where it all came from. It's been an amazing journey. We're trying to give away 1 million copies. So, Dr. John, you are part of the mission and that book giveaway. So that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And we're in the early stages. We're probably about 50,000 given away, and want to, you know, keep cranking toward that million. I'm a goal setter, so love to do that.
Absolutely. Folks, you're listening to Faith in Sport. Thank you if you just joined us. We have a few minutes left in the show, but you're listening to Carolina Catholic Radio. This is also a co-production of Radio Maria. We're talking with author Jeff Ballister. He's a former Division I basketball player. He's a longtime youth basketball coach, and he's the author of God Doesn't Play a Zone Defense, a practical game plan for building a one-on-one relationship with God. One of the last things that Jeff just mentioned was that we're doing a book giveaway. After we end this segment with Jeff, I'm going to re-give out my Twitter account and my email. And if you email me your address at no cost to you, I will send you a brand new copy of Jeff's book. Now, Jeff, I want to get more into this one-on-one relationship that you're encouraging the readers to develop with God. But I know the book, you insert these stories and you mention jokes. Leave us with a story or a joke that you put in the book to try to draw the reader in to the point you're trying to make.
Oh, geez. There's so many. So I'll summarize with one. So each chapter is about 10 pages, a short read. This book, it's meant to be a coffee table nightstand book that you go back to. But the one that really jumps out at me is the last chapter, which is called God's Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And it wraps it up. You know, basically, we're trying to achieve the God's Hall of Fame, not man's Hall of Fame. And the most important championship of all is eternal life with God. Well, the joke is this: this is actually a true story. We were up at a wedding up in Massachusetts, right near the Basketball Hall of Fame, and there was some downtime before like the rehearsal dinner. And my dad, us being a basketball fan, he's like, "You guys want to go check out the Basketball Hall of Fame?" We're like, yeah, I was 13 at the time. Like, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Sure.
So we get in the car. This is before GPS. So, of course, my dad gets lost, pulls down a street. And at the end of the street, there's like a pickup game going on. He's like, well, let me ask these guys. They probably know where the Basketball Hall of Fame is. So he rolls down the window, and that, you know, if you get the visual for the younger viewers, not electronic, he actually had to roll down the window.
Right.
This is years ago, and he yells at the guys playing, he's like, hey man, you know how to get to the Basketball Hall of Fame? And they're like, they looked at him like he was crazy. They're like, practice, man, practice. So it kind of sums up the whole book in that, you know, how do we get to God's Hall of Fame? We practice it our daily activities and our man-to-man or person-to-person relationship with God every single day. So it's, you want to get to heaven? Practice, man. Practice.
There you go, brother. Folks, Jeff Ballister, check out his book. If you're not one of the folks that are going to write in for this, check it out on Amazon or wherever you buy books. God Doesn't Play a Zone Defense. Jeff, I want you to come back on again in January, and then we'll set a date and we'll talk more specifics about the book, and you can tell us more great stories. Okay, buddy? And thank you for joining us here on Faith in Sport.
Thanks for everything you guys are doing. Amazing stuff. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, buddy. We'll talk soon. Well, there you go, folks. Jeff Ballister, he is the author of God Doesn't Play a Zone Defense. Listen, I mentioned a couple times that I'm willing to give away some of these books. In fact, Jeff just donated. You could see he's on a mission here to give away 1 million of these books. He's close to 100,000 copies given away. So he's donated a couple to me. Listen, I will send you one brand new copy. I'll send it to you at no cost to you. Either tweet me at j.aquaviva1 or email me your address at faithandsport@wingate.edu. So there you go, folks. Good stuff, man. Good.
That's
man.
Right. And if you're wondering what to buy your family member, friend, spouse, whoever it is, something for Christmas, your child, son, daughter, well, this will be the perfect stocking stuffer.
And, Chris, how much does it cost you?
Absolutely nothing.
It's the best price there is. Chris, listen, we only have a few minutes left. Normally, we do one or two quick Q&As with Dr. A. Let's just do one today. Shoot it at me, brother.
Okay. Was it good for the NCAA to warn about bets on individual players?
This is a great question.
I thought of it.
Yeah. And so this is what it's referring to. As most people know, over the last 10 years, especially the last 5 years in particular, more and more states have legalized gambling. And what that means, and the reason that it took so long for this to come around is, and rightfully so, the major cities that are in many states did not want anything associated with their basketball, football, or baseball teams.
Right.
Because they just wanted the people to enjoy the game for as it is. And gambling, although it is not considered a sin in and of it by itself, it can create some issues within our culture. Either people not having enough to spend on their family, addiction issues, but also, get this, from the NCAA Vice President of Law, Policy, and Governance. She said Nama Stevenson-Starks is worried that betting on individual player performances, or what are called prop bets, could create significant issues throughout the college sports world. So what this is saying is it's one thing to bet on a team, but it's another thing for college athletes to have what are called prop bets. In other words, it's illegal in the NCAA for you to bet on or against your team that in which you play for, right? It's against the law to do that. But what they're talking about is individual player performances. So here's why it could create issues. If a player bets on his team to win or lose, that's a problem, but an issue that they have less control over. However, a QB, for example, may forego a coach's decision to run the ball and pass instead to reach that passing stat that he or him and his friends bet on. In other words, placing bets on themselves for personal stats is more likely to happen with allowing gambling, the legalization of it, and the gambling world may take a turn for the worse for widespread legalization of betting. So we're gonna have to keep a close eye on this. More to be said about this for sure. One of the things I promised in the beginning of the show, Chris, was not just the stat of the week, but the shocking stat of the week.
That's right.
Last year, top five teams, Alabama, played against LSU. LSU was number one. I think Alabama was number two last year. The point spread was 5 points last year. They played each other this past weekend. Alabama was favored by 29.5 points.
Wow.
LSU lost all their players. Their best players aren't playing because of COVID. And here's the interesting thing. They were favored by 29 points, and Bama won by 38. In other words, they crushed last year's national champs. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I thought that was amazing. That was the shocking stat of the week, that here after they played as 1-2, Bama came back the next year, was number one, and LSU's nowhere to be found in top 20. Wow. There you go. Shocking. All right, folks. As always, I end with a quote from a Pope, and this one comes from John Paul II. Give thanks to God for the gift of sport in which the human person exercises his body, intellect, and will, recognizing these abilities as so many gifts of his creator. Again, that comes from John Paul II. Listen, before we go, I want to give special thanks to the two guests today, Carlos Herrera and author John Ballister, for joining me on the show today. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. Please join us next time here on Carolina Catholic Radio and Radio Maria for Faith in Sport.
That's right, and I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of upsets happen in the next few days, especially between the Washington football team and the Steelers on Monday Night Football, and also between the Wolfpack and your Michigan Wolverines. That's going to be an awesome game, too.
That'll be awesome, brother.
That'll be some more good stuff to talk about on next week's edition of Faith and Sport. You've been listening to Faith and Sport on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM. Also streaming at carolinacatholicradio.org. And we're also broadcasting across Radio Maria. We hope you'll all tune back in next week for an all-new edition of Faith and Sport right here on Carolina Catholic Radio. And in the meantime, if you want to hear more Faith and Sport, check out carolinacatholicradio.org and the on-demand section for the Faith and Sport audio archive to go back and relive some of the great moments of Faith and Sport.
Catch the spirit. Learn, love, and live your faith. AM 1270, Catholic Radio, WCGC, Belmont, where Charlotte grows in Christ. Flagship station of the Carolina Catholic Radio Network.